praying for you. I also want to ask you to help us pray for Brother Pace. Brother Pace, he did say it was okay to share with you now that he's shared with his family. He's looking at some heart procedures coming up, could very well be facing an open heart surgery in the weeks to come. And so we're praying for Brother Pace. We love you. We want you to know we're praying for you and your family. God's going to see you through this. We'll talk to you more about that church later, but just lift him up in prayer. And so let's go to the Lord right now. Let's ask him to heal and deliver. Let's ask him tonight to speak to us in the word as we go to the word of God tonight. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for your anointing. We ask you tonight, Lord, to anoint the teaching of your word. We ask you, God, to just touch those that are sick. We come against sickness in the name of Jesus. We bind every pain, every ache. We bind every virus, every infection. We come against it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we loose the power of healing to move in the bodies of your people. God, I pray, Lord, for Brother Pace. We lift him up before you tonight, God. We know that he's in your care. We ask you to strengthen him and bless him. And all of those that are healing from COVID right now, God, give them a quick recovery. Bless the teaching of your word. Open our hearts, our spirits, and our minds, and let us receive it from you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. And everybody at home said amen and amen. Thank you again for joining us tonight. We're just always so blessed to be able to come into your homes and be part of your evening or your morning, whatever the case may be. Our next live stream will be Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We'll have only live stream this Sunday, and then we're going to take it a week at a time after that. So we're praying that very soon we'll be able to get back to in-person services. Just not quite there yet. So bear with us as we make our way through this. I want to take you, I'm going to use as a key scripture tonight, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. There'll be no scriptures coming up on the screen tonight, and so if you have your Bibles and you're quick with your swords, you can go with us, or you can just listen to me read. I'm reading actually from a more modern translation, our key verse, and then I'm going to get into the King James here in just a moment. I'm going to take you to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we're going to go to verse number 25. That's where we'll spend the majority of our time, but as a foundation, let me read Hebrews 13, verses 5 and verse 6. It says this, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So tuck that scripture away for a moment. We're going to get back to that in a moment, but hang on to that. Think of this. Think of these words. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So Paul says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with the things that you have, because the Lord's never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. I heard a story about some sailors who were on an old ship in the middle of a rough and stormy sea, and the crew was afraid for their very lives, and they didn't know if they were going to sink or not. And so one of them went in to see the captain and said to the captain, just simply asked him flat out, are we safe? And the captain said, well, I'll just put it to you this way. He said, the boilers on this ship are very weak. He said they may explode at any moment. He said, the ship is very old, and she is steadily taking on water and has been for a while. So the captain said, to be very honest with you, we may have an explosion or we may sink. He said, we may go up or we may go down. He said, but either way, we are pressing on. And that's kind of the way I feel right now about this new year. I can't tell you what tomorrow holds. I just don't know. We may go up, church, or we may go down, but one thing's for certain, we are going to press on in 2021. We are pressing on. This church is marching on, pressing on. Whatever 2021 may bring, whatever happens in the next weeks or months or this year, one thing is settled and is forever settled. The church will be victorious. We know that because the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us that the church will be victorious. And so we are pressing on. We're going to have revival. We're going to win souls. We're going to baptize souls. We're going to see souls filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to grow in the Lord. And somebody said, amen. You know, the ancient map makers, when they would draw maps, I read that they would draw them out as far as they had been. They would draw the maps as far as they had explored. And then when they had reached the furthest point of their exploration, where they just did not know what lay beyond, well, there they would just draw a dragon or some fierce sea creature they would draw. It was their way of saying, I don't know what is out there. The rest of this I'm sure about. I know where I've been and I know what I've seen with my own eyes. But out there, I've never been there. I have no idea what that holds. There may be dragons. The funny thing is, none of those ancient mariners had ever seen a dragon. Those ancient map makers had never seen a dragon, but that did not stop them from presuming that those vast unknown places would be inhabited by dragons. That's the way fear works. Think about it. It always presumes the worst. It ignores the fact that there have never been dragons anywhere else. And without reason, it believes that there might well be dragons in the midst of the frightening unknown. And so as we look ahead to a new year, I have to tell you that it is a sentiment that I understand. Normally, I have an optimism as we approach the end of an old year and the beginning of a new one. But after 2020, I'm certain that more than a few folks are a little uncertain and unsure. But aren't you glad we have a word from God? Amen. And the word from God tells us, thank the Lord, says Paul said, oh, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. You can be content with such things as you have. For he said to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. And I will not fear. So I don't know what lays in 2021. I don't know what lay out there. But I do know one thing. God is still in control. And if he's brought us through this year, he's going to bring us through whatever we may have to face. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this new year. I'm excited about what God is going to do, what he's going to bring about, what he's going to bring to pass. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. And let me just read a few scriptures for you here, and I'm going to let you go on with your evening. But the Lord tells us in 6:25 of Matthew, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, and nor yet for your body what you shall put on. He says, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And then he points us to the birds. He says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. He says, yet your heavenly Father, he feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Listen to the way Jesus deals with the whole idea, the topic of worry and fear. Because what are we apt to worry over? And what are we apt to fear? Well, it's the unknown. We don't really fear the known because it's familiar to us. We've been there. The map makers say, we've been there. We know what's there. But out there, there may be dragons out there. And so that's what we fear, where we've not been. That's why one of the most feared things for the human race is death. Because we've never been there. And those that have been there, there's only been a handful that's come back to tell us what it was like. And so... we really don't know other than by faith what the Word of God tells us is out there. We don't have to fear death because the Word of God erases the unknowns for us. Amen. And so what we're apt to fear, what we're apt to worry over is tomorrow because we haven't been there yet. So how does Jesus deal with that? He says, I take care of the birds. I take care of them. I take care of the flowers in the field. And he said, of all this worrying that you do, think about this. Which of you, by taking thought or by worrying over it, which of you could add one cubit? Let me just say it this way. 1 centimeter, 1 inch to your stature. None of you, by worrying about it, can make yourself taller or shorter. You're going to grow, whatever height you're going to grow. Jesus is just saying there are some things you can worry all you want. There are things beyond your control, out of your circle of influence, things about tomorrow that I do not know. That one songwriter said many things about tomorrow I just do not understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. That really says it all. And so Jesus says, look, you can worry over all these uncontrollable things, but it won't change anything. You can't add an inch to your height or an inch to your stature. And why, he says, why take you thought for raiment? Why do you worry over your clothing? Think about the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. And he says, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I clothe them, I'll clothe you, and you can worry about it, but it won't do you any good. I'm going to take care of you. Wherefore, if God clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Of course. The answer to that rhetorical is, of course, 1,000 times yes. Therefore, he says in 31, therefore take no thought saying, what are we going to eat or what are we going to drink or what are we going, how are we going to be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father, he knows that you have need of all these things. But Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, this is the key. What do we seek first? What do we set our purest prime passion? What do we set it upon? And Jesus says, it must be about the kingdom of God. That must come first. If our compass is off, our whole trajectory is off, we travel in the wrong directions, we pursue the wrong things, we worry over things that are beyond our control, we make bad choices and bad decisions, bad for our families, bad for our futures, bad for our nerves, bad for our eternity, when we don't focus on the right things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Jesus says, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have to worry about your clothing. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't have to worry about the money. You don't have to worry about these things. You just need to seek first the kingdom of God, he says, and I'll take care of all of these other things. When we get it right, God will always do it right. But when we get it wrong, it's not that God just says, I'm going to punish you for doing it wrong. It's just that we simply remove ourselves. One, I remember back when I was a kid, one of the older brothers, every time he would sing at old Sanders Pentecostal Church back then, on Sunday nights, it was just a big old song fest. Every Sunday night, Brother Nelson, I remember it well, you know, with the offering plate. The offering plate would go out, and people would put in their offerings, and they would also put in little papers of song requests. Oh, I'm going back in memory lane now. And they'd write down there, I don't know, I think, I remember them coming up with a big old fistful of song requests every Sunday night, hand them to Brother Nelson. He would sort through them, and we would just have, sometimes it was nothing to have a couple of hours of just special singing. And we had some good singers. One of the brothers, his name was Brother Southern, I'll never forget. He sang about being under the spout where the glory comes out. Under the spout where the glory comes out. I don't remember the melody, I don't remember the tune, but I remember it was a powerful song, and it was a concept that stuck with me all these years, that there is a spout where the glory comes out, and I'm either under it getting the glory of God in my life, or I can step over here or over there, and I can remove myself. It's not that God just moves the spout around, and we have to figure out where it is. He tells us in his word, seek first my kingdom, and you're going to be under the glory spout. Seek first my kingdom, and I'm going to give you everything that you have need of. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that worth rejoicing over? We don't have to chase around God's blessings, wondering where they're going to come from day to day. We know from the word of God. Hallelujah. So I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen in 2021, but I know if I keep myself right with God, that he's going to be right with me. Amen. I finish with 34. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. That means don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now what that means, that a better word for that word evil there, the real concept is trouble, problems. And Jesus is simply saying, tomorrow will have its share of troubles. You do not need to exacerbate them by worrying about them before you even get there. They'll be there waiting on you. And he's basically saying, I'm going to take care of you today. And if I take care of you today, kind of the same idea that God was establishing for the children of Israel when he said, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. Here this thing called manna falls from heaven. And he told them, only gather enough for one day, because I'm going to take care of you tomorrow. And if I take care of you today, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. He said, if you gather enough for tomorrow, the worms are going to eat it. It's going to rot. And I'm going to teach you a valuable lesson, children of Israel, that I am your God of today, but I'm also your God. I'm already in tomorrow, taking care of tomorrow for you. We need to lean on that. Not only lean on that, we need to embrace that. That he is the God of tomorrow. Tomorrow's problems and troubles and evils and all of that, they're going to be there whether you worry about them or not. They'll just be there. So why don't we go ahead and seek first the kingdom of God today and let God take care of our tomorrow. I believe that in 2021, we're going to see wonderful blessings. I don't know what they'll look like. I don't know how they'll come. But I do believe with all of my heart, many of your family members that are not serving God right now, by December 31st, 2021, they're going to be in the church. I believe that. I claim that with you right now. Why don't you believe that with me right now? I also believe that you are going to, when it comes to souls, this is what I feel in the spirit for 2021. Souls. Reach one. Disciple one in 2021. Disciple one in 2021. Ask the Lord to lead you to a soul. Open the door for you to have a conversation. Open the door for you to share the gospel with them. And then, Lord, help me to win that soul to you. Bring that soul into the kingdom of God and disciple them through. Would you not be ecstatic if by the end of 2021 you were responsible, even if it was one soul? I will take that. I would love to, at December 31st, 2021, have a disciple. And then in 2022, that disciple could go out and win a disciple, and I'll go win another disciple. And if we all do that, we'll reach our world for Jesus. We sure will. Let the Lord use you this year. I wish you all a happy, happy new year. I want you to know that on New Year's Eve, midnight, going into 2021, I'm going to be thinking of you. I'm going to be thinking of you. I'm going to be praying for you and your family. I love you. My wife loves you. We just say happy new year from the Hawkins home and from Turning Point Apostolic Church. Stay strong, church. Great days ahead. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. in our next live stream. God bless.